When the Bush administration set out to topple Saddam Hussein's regime a year ago, diplomatic and military planners and policymakers in Washington were still at odds over what would follow the fighting. Post-war plans remain a work in progress. Faced with difficult political realities in Iraq, the United States has had to shift course several times. Even today, there's uncertainty about what exactly will replace the American Occupation Authority, due to be dissolved June 30th. NPR's Michelle Kellerman reports.
A year ago, the Pentagon was showing off organizational charts for the Office of Reconstruction and Humanitarian Affairs, which was to temporarily run Iraq. The idea, never fully implemented, was to have Americans in charge of all the Iraqi ministries and hire some Iraqis to make it look less like an occupation. Administration officials were working with exiles to try to come up with some sort of interim government. As for the costs, well, that was the easy part, according to Deputy Defense Secretary Paul Wolfowitz, speaking a year ago on Capitol Hill.
There's a lot of money to pay for this that doesn't have to be U.S. taxpayer money, and it starts with the assets of the Iraqi people.
In other words, oil.
We're not dealing with Afghanistan that's a permanent ward of the international community. We're dealing with a country that can really finance its own reconstruction and relatively soon.
Critics say that was a flawed assumption. Congress recently approved more than $18 billion of U.S. taxpayer money to rebuild Iraq, and that doesn't cover the military's costs of occupying Iraq. Anthony Cordesman of the Center for Strategic and International Studies believes the U.S. didn't fully understand the poor state of Iraq's oil sector and the economy and went into Iraq without providing enough troops to secure the country for rebuilding efforts.
And we were almost totally unprepared for what happened after we defeated Saddam. Now, we spent a year trying to catch up, a year trying to create a meaningful U.S. occupying government, working with our allies, a year trying to create a meaningful aid program, and we have spent a year trying to create some kind of Iraqi political structure out of the governing council.
Eventually, the Coalition Provisional Authority was created, with Paul Bremer at the helm. He picked the Iraqi Governing Council, and despite several changes to a political transition plan, he oversaw a major success recently with the signing of an interim constitution. David Phillips of the Council on Foreign Relations believes it would have been easier had the Bush administration not shelved the work that the State Department had been doing to get Iraqis more involved in a political transition early on.
The well has been poisoned. Just can't turn the clock back and pretend that there is an enormous ill will and distrust of Iraqis towards the American occupation. If we had a plan to give sovereignty to Iraqis right away, my strong belief is that we wouldn't have seen the spiraling violence that has occurred over the past year.
But Cordesman of the Center for Strategic and International Studies says it's too easy to blame the so-called neoconservatives in the Pentagon for simply ignoring the State Department's work and warnings.
The record is still, of course, to be made public. But if the neoconservatives lived in a strange kind of fantasy land where everything was going to take care of itself spontaneously, I think the State Department lived in a different kind of fantasy land where drawing up plans was somehow seen as a solution to the problem.
The Iraqi Governing Council's representative in Washington, Rend al-Rahim, says in the end she believes it was better to have plans that could evolve.
Do we wish that we had a blueprint that we went in with and everything had worked? Of course, things would have been easier. However, is it better to have had that blueprint and in the face of developments insisted on the blueprint regardless of the consequences? I think that would have been wrong.
A leading neoconservative voice, Richard Pearl of the American Enterprise Institute, says this was no routine operation and adaptability was key. At a news conference, he was dismissive of this reporter's question about whether the administration's post-war plans were lacking.
Public radio ever organized an interview and the interviewer failed to turn up? Never had a surprise? Never found that a blueprint couldn't be executed exactly? The administration planned as well as it could plan under circumstances of uncertainty, and it is a lie to suggest that there was no planning, and it is a lie to suggest that the planning reflected an unduly rosy view of how difficult this challenge would be.
Perhaps the biggest challenge lies ahead, with a June 30th transfer of sovereignty date looming and no clear picture of how the U.S. can ensure an orderly road to elections in Iraq. By then, Paul Bremer's team is expected to be replaced by one of the world's largest U.S. embassies. Another work in progress. Michelle Kellerman, NPR News, Washington.